Blog Talk Radio.
No crown, no trials, and tribulations. You don't have a testimony to tell. We wouldn't even have a message if we didn't have to go through some mess sometimes. Amen? Whew. Amen, amen, amen. Well, scripture coming tonight from Matthew 24. scripture coming tonight from the book of Matthew, starting in chapter 24, verse 3 through 14 is what we're reading tonight. Hallelujah. That just gives my, it just renews my spirit. It's just, hey, yeah, just no cross, no crown. Hallelujah. It just makes me think and stop and remind us that we really shouldn't be complaining about all of the things that is going on in our life. Somebody else is always, always worse off than you. I mean, I just think if we move out of our little circle, sometimes we would see, get to see the opportunities that some people have to complain, but they don't. The opportunities that some people are making what they have, they're making it work. And if we looked at those situations, we would be like, oh, my God, and I have a desire to complain? Well, I have a house that I can lay my head down in, and I have all the comfort. Most people, not just, I'm not talking about in foreign countries, but I'm talking about people that you know, people that you work with. There's so many people that are starving right now today in your city, even in your community. But we're too busy in our cars and with all the luxury, and we're too busy to even look down and see, God, who is it around me that I need to be ministering to? How can I help? When we get tired of something, we just throw it to the back of our closet. And we take it somewhere, we want to sell it to one of the new things. Instead of donating now, we're selling to all of these places, Plato's Closet and all the different things like that. Just so we don't have the opportunity to give. Look around you. Look around you. Look around you. There's so much that you have to give. To give. God gave. We need to learn to give. We can't put a price tag on everything. We're not even using it. Forget about what you paid for it. That's in the past. Hallelujah. No one's asking you to go back and repay for that. But if you're through with it, give it to someone in need. God bless. Well, so he tells us in Matthew 24, starting at verse 3. And Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, and they said, tell us, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age? And this is after Jesus had left the temple, of course, and he was just walking away, when his disciples actually came up to him. I'm sure we know the story. If you don't, feel free to go back into Matthew and read the whole chapter 24. For the sake of time, we're just picking up here. But just wanted to let you know exactly what they're talking about when they said, you know, when is this going to happen and what will be the signs of your coming? Jesus answered them, and he said, watch out that no one deceives you. And we know there's a lot of deception going around right now of when he's going to come, and we've had people proper lie about, you know, it's supposed to have been this date and this day is the last days here, and all of those days just came and went, and some more are coming and going. But he says right here in the Word for us to watch out and do not be deceived, so we don't have to run around and do the things that people are saying to do, because, you know, it's been predicted 1994 and 2004 and different things like that, and we're still here. But the Word says do not be deceived. So, if you've been deceived, it's because you're not following the Word of God. Amen? And it continues. In verse 5, it says, for many will come in my name. Many will come in my name. And when they come, he said, how will I tell the difference? He said, they're going to be claiming that I am the Christ. And they will deceive many. You will hear of wars, and you'll hear rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. The wars, the rumors of more wars. Do not get alarmed. Diseases coming over the land. But do not become alarmed. We have so many different people saying we're going back into it's going to be famine across the land. Do not become alarmed. Do not be deceived of these threats. For these things, such things must happen. But the end is still to come. But the end is still to come. It said nations will rise against nations. Amen. It says kingdoms against kingdoms. Amen. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of birth pains. Amen? Now, I think that should have lit a fire up under each and every one of our hearts, that if we don't do nothing else, we want to go back tonight, pick up the Bible, that's your sword, and go to Matthew chapter 24. Read through that. Just the title alone should have got your attention. The signs of the end of time. The signs of the end of age. Everyone is always talking about when, and we're being deceived by so many different people. But I gave it to you tonight because the Lord wants you to read his word. He wants you to take his word. Take him up on his word and not all the words of the media and not all the words of what's around you, because, you know, it's a whole lot of things that it starts out with just insinuations, and then those insinuations can turn into just flat-out lies, and then they can have us all worked up and worked out, and we don't know what to do with ourselves and what we're going to do, and oh, this is it, and that is it. But it's nothing new. That is nothing new. It's always been. We spoke about it starting on yesterday. I was talking about how the devil started out by just deceiving Eve. She deceived Adam, and it kept going on. And we're still living as a part of that as of today. So before we jump into the scripture, let's bow our heads in prayer, and let's remember those on the prayer walls and all the ones that have asked you to pray for them tonight. Will you just put their names to the beginning of your brain right now and just call out those names right now. Whoever it is that has asked you, sister, please pray for me. Brother, I need your prayer. Will you just remember those people right now in prayer as we come before the altar right now? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we honor your presence, dear Father. We invite you to come and take control over our minds, our thoughts, everything that we say and do. Dear Father, we lay at the altar all of our pain, our guilt, and our shame. All of those, dear Father, that are in need of whatever their needs may be, we just ask you, dear Father, to just accept their plea and just give them what it is that they're desiring, that it according to your will in their lives right now. Dear Father, the things that we're begging for, pleading for, crying for, and that is not beneficial to us, dear Father, I ask you, dear Father, to just wipe those thoughts from our mind, ease the comfort and relax us, dear Father, that we may just trust in you for what is the best for us. We know not what is best. We know not what we need. We just look around us and we just jump at the opportunities according to what the circumstances around us look. But I thank you, dear Father, that you know us from the beginning to the ending. You know all the secret places in our hearts that we're trying to hide lies and deception of any type. So I ask you to reveal all of that, dear Father, that we may move farther and closer to you. And now I ask you that I may decrease and may you increase. And we invite your ever-loving presence to just come and minister to us like no other one can. All around the world, all around the universe, we give you praise, we honor you, we magnify your name, and we say amen as we accept your beautiful gifts of love, your beautiful gifts of healing, of deliverance. We accept your holiness, your presence right now. Amen. Amen and amen. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for just being our force. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the ones that are here tonight and the ones that are going to be coming back in the archives. And just thank you for the emails that I received with just special directions on how to download and how to get your uploads. And for some of you, I was able to just email the answer right back to you of how you can download the programs to your MP3 or to different avenues of the media. But for others, I am going to have to utilize the information you gave me to contact you to see if we can do a walk step-by-step into it. And I understand that with the new technology, things is not always as simple as others make it look. So I'm proud of you for especially the ones that are, maybe this is not your generation for all the technology, but you're determined that you're going to hang in there enough at least to get the word to you in the format that is best desired for you. So praise be the name of the Lord for you, and I will be getting back with you on that. Amen. So we're going to pick right back up. Again, this is your host, Minister Von Dennis,
And I'm coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. And we wish everyone a happy evening, happy Friday evening. I pray that you're having a, happy Saturday evening. We went through Friday. And I pray that everyone is having a relaxed or enjoyable time wherever you may be. You may be on a remote site somewhere, as some indicated to me that you are tonight. Some may be just at home relaxing and have decided that you're going to spend this 45 minutes worshiping, praising, and learning with us. And so we invite you. We thank you so much for taking out that time. And I invite anyone that wants to get in touch with me, you can email me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, it is walkwithmegod@aol.com. Or you can reach me by phone at 210-793-1370. Or, of course, you can always leave a message here on the Blog Talk Radio. Or you can feel free to get in the chat room, as we have people in the chat room now. Or however you choose that you want to get in touch with us, just make sure we do. We always love to hear from you. I love to hear what it is that the Lord is doing to you and through you through this broadcast. So make sure that you go back into the archives and make sure that you rate the show. It's very important. Make sure that you rate the show. Amen? Amen. So as we were speaking about last night, just getting retracting a little bit about sin, how sin began in the Garden of Eden with Eve. And in Genesis 3:1, it talks about, it says that now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Remember, even the serpent, the Lord God, what? Created. So it says, then the Lord God had made. He was a little bit more craftier. And it said, and he said unto the woman, ye has God said that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And right there we wanted to emphasize, I wanted everyone to notice that the devil puts a question in her mind. You know, did he really say that you could not eat of every fruit of this garden? Did he really say that of every tree? You know, he knew what God said. He knew what God had said. But he wanted to put it in the form of a question in her mind. And so many times it happens right now today. No new tricks. He uses the same old tricks. He just uses different faces to put the tricks to. So he still may be asking you tonight, did he really tell you that you can't have this up here? You know, that man is not really happy. Did he really tell you not to take that particular job? You know, it is bringing in money, even though it is something that is solicitation, or it may be something that is against your body. You know, but you are bringing in money. Look around you. You're driving better than anybody else. He's putting the questions in your mind, just as he did with Eve in the day here standing in the Garden of Eden. Again, he knew what God had said, but he asked her if, as if she didn't hear it right. Maybe she didn't hear what he had said, okay? And so then the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. And if you do, it said, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye should not surely die. Really? You think you would really die if you even just touch it? But he said, you know what, I'm in my mind, I'm taking it further than touching it. I want her to do exactly what he said not to do. I want her to do it all. Amen? So now, as you see, that was just a direct lie. He started off with the insinuation, trying to put the question in her mind, and then he just went straight out to a flat lie. This lying, right? Just a flat lie. And that's what we're talking about tonight as our title. Insinuation turns into a flat lie. So don't even, we're trying to get you to the point where you don't even entertain the insinuation, because you know that it's going directly into a flat lie. Let's look and see how did it go here in this story. It says, for God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's a lie. We all know now that that insinuation was just a flat lie. It just turned into a lie. So now he's trying to tap into Eve's pride in her own intellect by giving her a reason that God doesn't want her to eat of the fruit. And then it goes on to say in 3 and 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, we know what happened, right? She took of the fruit thereof. So at first he started off by putting the seed, planting the seed in her mind, just insinuating, did he really say that? Did you hear that right? And then he goes on to just tell her, you know, well, are you sure? So you're really going to die. You think you really would die if you just eat of that fruit. You would really die if you touch of that tree. That's the direct lie. And then he starts to just play with her mind and just mess with her intellect, get into her pride. Are you really going to let him tell you what to do? Does that make sense? Let me give you a reason. Let me get into your intellect. Let me give you a reason he would be saying this. Because he knows that the day that you eat of that fruit, then your eyes shall be open. And he knows that the day that you eat of that fruit, that you shall be as God. You will know all good. You will know all evil. You know, sometimes I think about, what if she had flipped it around and said, well, why don't you be the first to eat? Why don't you be the first to eat? Let me look at you and see if you know all good and evil after you taste of it. Let me see if you become a God after you have tasted of it. Why is it important for me to be the one? Well, that's the same thing that goes in many of our lives right here today. The same things is happening. You know, Eve noticed that the fruit looked good to eat. And the truth is, even today, that sin can be good-looking sometimes. Amen? Sin can be good-looking. Sin can make you look through the crowd and look past some of the things that you had on your mind and say, whoa, wow, is that you, Sam? Sin can be good-looking sometimes. You know, even Jesus said that it was pleasurable to sin. He sees through us and he sees what the lure is. That's the lure in the sin itself. It's the pleasurement. See, at first being drunk is fun. But by the end of the night, you end up hugging some filthy toilet or you feel like you're going to die. But at first when you was taking those shots with your friends, you felt like this is the world. I'm on top of the world. And you just didn't know that you was in the elevator all along, heading down, down, down. You had no idea that you would get behind a wheel because you thought, oh, I just had a few drinks and I feel good. Of course I can drive. There's nothing wrong with me. And so someone's life is involved in it. And then all the ones that you said that you loved, you didn't think about them before you got behind the wheel of that car and said, what would happen if? I'm thinking, if I'm hallucinating, maybe I'm drunker than what I thought. Hey, but that's just me talking. That's just me talking. Whether you listen or not, we all know. It's your choices. It's your decisions. But those insinuations, it just turns into lies. As we speak to you, are you really, did she really say no? Did she really mean no? Look at the way she's dressed. She's telling you no. Don't touch her. But does she really mean that? Let me give you a reason. Let me get into your intellect. The reason she said no is because she just wants you to just be a little bit more forceful. Insinuation turns into flat-out lies that can destroy your life and the person that you are with. It can destroy their lives, their family lives. I'm just trying to get you to look at the situation. To notice when it's been knocked on your door and the enemy is telling you these lies, to be able to identify, no, this is exactly what happened way back at the beginning. I'm not going to go for that. The world has been revolving too long. It's been too many examples for us to not take heed, take notice of something. Amen? Why do we keep falling into these same old pits? So let's just continue on. We know that there's pleasure in sin. We know that. We know that it doesn't turn out like it started looking that it was going to be. You see, there ain't no use to lie around smoking dope. And smoking dope is fun. I've heard so many people that shooting heroin. I got a high off of that I just could not believe. But there's no use to lie around smoking dope and exploiting your bodies, and because you know the end result. You know the end result. It is the effects of it. It hurts you in the end. You begin to rely on it to do something for yourself. You begin to rely on it to get you up in the morning. You begin to rely on it to get you through your job because you're missing something in you. Every time it's taking something away from you, and you're missing that something that's been taken away. And you start to run after it and search for it because that's the last place you saw it. It's when you put that needle in your arm. Why do people sin? Just take a second and think about it. Why do people sin? And again, it's because of the pleasure that comes with that sin. I'm sure some of you came up with that same answer. It's the way that it makes me feel, I hear. It's the pleasure that comes with that sin. Some of you know that you shouldn't be in that situation that you're in. But it's the prestige that you feel when you're being seen with that person. You know that it's all types of abuse going on behind the closed doors, but when you come out amongst us, and you got your jewels and your bears on it. You're riding in the nice cars, and you just—it's something about it that makes you want to square your shoulders back and stand up tall, and you want to put on your best smile, even though your mouth may be hurting because he just popped you in it. But you just want to blink your eyes and let us know, and just perpetrate to us that I have something that only you wish you had. But deep inside, you're crying out, "Help me! How did I get here? How can I get out of this lie? Why did I believe the things that was being told to me? Is that where you want your daughter to be at? Sir, is that where you want the way you're treating that woman? Is that the way you want your daughter to be treated? Do you want some man to treat your daughter the way you're treating that woman? Why? Is that what you want your boys to do? Do you want them to beat down somebody? You said, well, I saw my mother take it. Could you reverse it? If you wanted to have the opportunity to reverse it, would you allow that to happen again? I don't think you would. I don't think you would. I think some of us are so hurt because as kids, there was nothing you could do when you saw your parents going through that. It's something you can do now, though. You can stop it. You can stop that curse right here and right now. You don't have to fall into those same patterns and say, they made it through it and I'm just fine. You can stop it. What you consider is fine could be just you just covering up hurt. How are your kids going to handle it? They may get suicidal because they can't take it like you did. You think you're fine. We may see differently. What if your child can't even take what you took? They can't hide it as well as you did. And have the opportunity to make that change right now. Right now is when the change should be made, right now. So the question is, what are you going to do? You start doing more and more sin. You start to rely on it to do everything. But sin will take you farther than you want to go. That sin will take you farther than you ever want it to go. You know, John says in Big John 8:34, it said, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So you start smoking that cigarette and you become the servant of that cigarette. Have you saw the commercials that the young people go in there to buy a pack of cigarettes and they're like, that's not going to be enough? You got to rip off your skin. You got to take out your teeth because it's going to do damage to your teeth, your skin, your hair follicles. It's going to just tear all of these things up. You become a servant of sin. You end up being a slave to that very thing that you thought would make you feel free. Come on now. You can something until you can face what it is that you're going through. You got to face that sin, identify what it is that he's doing, how you're reacting to that sin. And some of us are so afraid of the effect of quitting that sin that we don't want to hear that. Even right now, you're squirming, you're moving around, you're trying to cover up this voice that you're hearing right now by starting another conversation. You're doing whatever you can not to hear this because you're just like, why don't she hush? Why is she in my business? Why is she talking about that? I don't want to hear it. Do you know how many times I've tried to quit? You know how hard it is? Do you know what I'm going through right now? Tonight is just not a good time for me to quit. And I stand before you bringing a word from the Lord of God saying, now is the day for you to quit, right here, right now. You don't know how much time you may have left after this. This is your time to start right now. Right now. And only you can make up that decision. When you look that loved one in the eye, you should be making up your mind, I'm making up that decision tonight. I am making that decision tonight. Amen? So you end up again being a slave. Some people don't even like to watch movies of slavery in any form, whether it was racial slavery, whether it was slavery against kids, child labor slavery, whether it was prostituting little teenage girls as slavery. Some people don't even like to deal with that word, but you yourself are being a slave to whatever that sin is. The thing that you thought would make you be free. The thing that you thought would make you look so grown would identify you as a grown person by doing these things, well, it's not working. It has in reverse made you a sin slave. Amen? So let's look back at Eve again. It was the lure of the tree and its fruit was in the beauty. You see, the tree, Genesis 3 says, was pleasant to the eye. And the tree to be desired to make one wise. So she took of the fruit thereof. She took of the fruit thereof. And she did eat. And she gave also, not enough for her. Because you know the moment that she touched it, the moment that she took that bite, you know her life had to change. You know, everything inside of her had to be just totally darkness. Something had to come across her, over her. And she just did not want to be in that space alone, so the serpent already has her attention. He already has her mind in the wrong direction. So now he just was able to just push her forward and say, share it with your husband. You know, God left him in charge anyway, so, you know, let's get it to him. So she did eat, and she gave also into her husband with her, and he did eat. You know, that day sin came into a snake-like manner. It brought up a question. It tempted the pride of her intellect, and it lured her with the beauty of it. The end result was a world of death. The end result is what we're living in right now. It was a world of sickness. That end result is what we're still paying for right now, is misery. But it started out looking really good. It started out looking like, look at this Garden of Eden. We have everything we need. We have figs, we have apples, we have plants, we have everything that we need. Adam even has this beautiful helpmeet. Wow, what a wonder, what a wonder, what a wonder, what a wonder. Look at that relationship that you're in. Look at that job that you was praising the Lord for when you got that call, that you had this position. You said, I would never be late, I'm not going to miss, I'm going to be here, I'm going to do my best, I'm going to excel, I'm going to, whoo. When she said, I do, you said, this is going to be my wife. I'm going to treat her like the queen she is. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be understanding. We're going to just do all of these great things together, and if you're not too embarrassed right now, would you just look at that lovely mate that you have? Would you just look at her? You may be arguing with her now. Would you just stop for a moment and just look at her? Will you just look at him? The one that you said, you know, I got this man. I know some others wanted him, but and he really wanted them too, but I persuaded him that I am the one. Will you just look at him now? How are you doing? What have you done to build him up from the place that you saw him? He was flourishing. He was doing wonderful things. And is he torn down now? Are you tearing him down? Are you breaking his spirit? Or are you lifting that queen up where she is reigning, not just where she feels good, because where she feels good, she's going to take care of you. Brothers, if you haven't noticed that, if you got a happy wife and she's really in love with you, she's going to make sure that it just doesn't stay inside of her, but you're going to see it. She's going to love you. She's going to take care of you. She's going to do the best for you. She will even stand up for you, believe me. She will square her shoulders back to the biggest mountain to tell them about you if she's feeling that love. If she's been loved like God loves the church. And man of God, if that woman truly loves you, if that woman is truly loving you, she would have no problem submitting to you. Because if you're treating her like God loves the church, she would have no problem submitting to you. But if you have that quarrelsome person, that is nothing that you seem to be able to do is enough, you are out of the line, out of the will of God to stay in the midst. Now, I'm not telling you to go divorce your wife, but I'm telling you, you need help, that you would need to go seek some kind of counseling. So many of you are still just wasting God-given time when God is telling you that that's not who he has for you. But you keep looking at all the different things that you've built up. Well, we got this going on here, this going on here. How in the world would I leave this here? What would we do? It's not your decision. It's not to come up what the outcome is going to look like. Just know that it is not going to be a godly outcome. I'm just reminding you, the word of the God is just saying that it's somebody tied up in a whirlwind, and there's so much out there, and it's just beating all of the talent out of you. You're not using any of your God-given talent that you're supposed to be using. And you have all these dreams and high hopes, and now they're just fading away. Because all you're doing is just arguing day in and day out. All you're doing is trying to figure out, how am I going to get this done? How do I get past this? How do I get this here said? And you're just reiterating, well, I think they got it this time. I talked to them about it. I think they're going to do right this time. Put it in your heart. You know things. It's not going to change. So now, after a while, it's to the point that it's not even that person anymore. The sin becomes on you for just staying in the midst of that. The sin becomes a part of you for not getting your family out of that. And that's your sin. Amen. Amen. Look at yourself. Sin always begins by putting a little question in your mind. What do you think about this? Or why don't you try that? Or why not do it? What is really going to hurt? Who's really going to be hurt? How is it really going to hurt anybody if I stay a little longer? How is it really going to hurt if I do this and do that? You know, sin never starts with an answer, because sin has no answer. Sin might be fun, but it's costly. It causes. And remember, as we close tonight, the wages of sin is death. I say that in a steep price, that's a very steep price to pay, isn't it? The wages of that sin is death. Are you willing to let everything around you die? Your kids and their generations? What if your kids start smoking today? They get a jump start on the time that you started. And then their kids start a little bit earlier than that. Don't you want to break that yoke? Don't you want to be the one that said, this is it? I want to leave as a heritage. So somewhere sitting 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, generations of your ancestors, of your generations ahead of you, when they're speaking back of their ancestors, don't they want to be able to say, you know, it was great-great-grandmother Vaughn who broke that chain of smoking, who broke that chain of pornography, who broke that chain of adultery, who broke that chain of prostitution. Don't you want to have something positive to pass on to your generations? When they look back in their ancestral history, I want them to have good things that grand, great, 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 great grandma Vaughn did, okay? I just don't want it to be that, oh, you know, she was a smoker too. You know, she was just this and that. You know, she just sold herself or this or that. I challenge you to just look at yourself tonight. Because every one of your family members, I challenge them to look at you in a different way. Look at you and see, what do they really see? So just knowing they're looking at you tonight, okay? You just know that you should be looking at you. Every time you pass the mirror, look real good at yourself. Is that where you really want to be? Sin always begins with a question, because there is no true answer to sin. It's just a sinful matter. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, friends of God, he loves you, and he wants you to know that he has peace for you. He has answers for you. He has healing for you, and it's all right here at the cross. The church is in your heart. You can be in church right now. I pray that you just have spent 45 minutes in church right now. That's why I'm so disrespectful for wherever it is. It can be in your car. And someone just gets to moving and talking and doing things when the word has been given. That is in church. That's your church. Amen? The cross is your path to his great redemption plan for you. Hallelujah. It's a plan to bring you into a personal relationship with him. And no matter what kind of trouble or sickness that you're facing, he will meet you there with open arms to pardon you, to heal you, to restore your soul right there in the midst of where you're at right now. Hallelujah. All you have to do to accept his word is by faith. If you just repeat the words and believe them, you will be born again, according to his word in Romans 10, 9, and 10. Just repeat the words and believe them. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new creature in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I thank you for loving me enough to die for me. That's true love. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's very important, if you just pray that prayer, to reach out and contact someone, to get in a Bible teaching church, because it's in Jesus' name that you just pray that prayer. It's not the name of Buddha or Allah. It's not the name of Muhammad, but it's in the name of Jesus. So it's very important to know that every building structure that's standing with a sign over it does not pray to Jesus. They're not in with Jesus. So it's very important to get in a Bible teaching church. So it's important to let someone know of that decision that you just made, that you're going to follow Christ. You're going to need some tools to get you on this road. And we would love to just hear from you. Again, you can reach me at the Blog Talk Ministry, or by reaching out at walkwithmegod@aol.com, or even calling me personally, 210-793-1370. We would love to hear from you to get you started on your walk. It won't be long before we're all going to be leaving here. We're going to be leaving here soon. Until the next broadcast, we love you. Good night.
Tonight we have a very special announcement. He has prompted our hearts to tell you. Think about it these last few months.
It won't be long.